We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Means I've been here a month, so it's time to take some vacation. It was arranged before, so I'll be away next week, and beloved Shirley will be filling in, and then I'll be back. This morning's liturgist is, we've got two, Peggy Ganser and Liz Bongard. Our radio sponsor is Jane Litcher, in memory of Jane's dad, Lloyd Gruber. And then we have lots of special music today by Christy Statz, Melanie Wheeler, and Michelle Bushweller. This is our welcome statement for First UCC here. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. We at First UCC in Sauk City have been embraced by the inclusive love of Jesus. And so we strive to be a welcoming presence in Sauk City and beyond. We invite anyone and everyone to worship and serve with us. Everyone who covenants with us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly in the way of Jesus will be a valued member of this fellowship without regard to sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, race, or faith background. Now let's take a moment of silence to come into this holy place, this holy company. Please stand as you are able as Peggy reads our call to worship.
Feed us now, child of God, as you fed your first disciples.
Feed us with the soul food, nurtured in the love to the nurse.
Feed us with the spiritual bread which strengthens our hands for serving those broken and lost people whom this world deems unimportant.
Feed us so that we may be filled with some of the joy which universally cannot contain, for your love's sake. Amen.
Please be seated. We have some special music.
Surrounded by
I can only
only imagine.
Please stand if you're able and willing, or rise in spirit and join me in prayer. Living Christ, who says, "My body is bread," in a world of abundance, we too often accept that some beloveds do not have enough to eat. We accept the lie that food must be produced in a way that degrades the land, animals, and humans. We believe that manufactured and systems that pollute are just the way your world works. We fail to listen to wise people who teach us right relationship with land and food, to people who work to make food accessible and available. We long for our neighbors to have enough to eat and for our food not to harm your creation. We long for intimacy, tenderness, tending, care with our food sources. This is our prayer. There is living bread for all God's beloveds, living bread that can feed our hungry spirits. We are welcome at the table. There is enough. We are enough. Amen. For which we all say, yep, go. Be seated. Without exception, everyone is welcome at this table. So if you are hungry or even just curious, please come and taste. We gather together around the table with an offering of bread and drink, and the promise of living Christ among us. This is the welcome table of God, where all who seek to be at peace with their neighbor and all who seek to know the love of God are embraced. We are invited to the holy mystery. Come. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. All who come to me will not hunger. All who believe in me shall never be thirsty." We remember on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Eat in remembrance of me." He took the cup in thanksgiving and said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of a new covenant. It is poured out for you and for many. Drink and remember me." Come, Holy Spirit, come. Open our eyes to the mystery of Christ's presence in these ordinary sayings and in our ordinary lives. May they be for us the essence of the living Christ in our midst. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all things are ready. Thank you.
let grace appear. The hour I first believed, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.
Gracious and loving God, you have made us one in the body of Christ and nourished us at your table with holy food and drink. Thank you for feeding our hunger and relieving our thirst. Send us into the world to do the work that you have given to us, to find the lost and lonely, to heal the broken, to free prisoners, and to make the powerful care. In your name we pray. Amen. Now we have some kiddo time. Do we have... Yep, run. That's okay.
Are you out of breath? Okay. I'm going to tell a little story this morning. Have you heard of stone soup?
No.
Well, there was a man who went to a city one day, and he was very hungry, and he didn't have anything to eat. And he went around to people, and he knocked on the doors, and he said, "Do you have anything I might eat?" And nobody did. They said, "Sorry, nope." So after he went to quite a few doors and still didn't have anything to eat, he had an idea. So he went to the middle of the town and he got a big soup pot. And he put the soup pot on the fire and he started to get the soup ready. And people came, and they said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I have magic stones. They make the most delicious soup you've ever, ever had." And he put them in the pot. And then he said, "This soup is going to be so good, so, so good. I can't wait for you to try it. You're going to love it." And then he said, "But you know what? It could use some carrots. Does anybody have any carrots? Does anybody have any carrots?" And somebody did. So he put the carrots in. And then he took a little taste and he said, "It's almost there. But it could use an onion. Does anybody have an onion?" Yeah? Somebody did. So he chopped up the onion and he put that in the soup too. And it cooked some more and he took another taste and he said, "It's getting close. It could use some celery though. Who's got some celery?" Well, somebody found some celery and they put that in the soup too. Do you have celery? Will you put it in the soup?
No.
Please. He said, "All right, it's getting really close. Maybe some potatoes would be good. So, anybody have potatoes?" Yeah, that's right. He put them in the soup. He said, "Okay, this is cooking and it smells so good. People could already smell it." He took a taste and he said, little bit of chicken in here would be okay too. Does anybody have some chicken to throw in the pot?" And they found some chicken. And they threw it in the pot. It's getting very close. He still needed some salt, so somebody brought some salt over. And then it was almost ready, and he said, "You know what would be so good with this soup? Some bread. Does anybody have bread that they can bring?" And somebody did. And then some people got out bowls and they brought their spoons and everybody got a big bowl of the most delicious stone soup they'd ever tasted. And they dipped in their bread and everybody ate. We heard a story a little bit like that about Jesus having just a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread and feeding a whole bunch of people. It's good to feed people. It's good to eat together. It's good to share what we have. All right, let's pray. Do you want to hold hands? Or your hands? You get to choose. Holy God, bless the children in our lives and in our hearts. May they grow in wisdom, in faith, in love of you and love of neighbor. In your many names we pray. Amen. All right, you can go all the way back up. Get some steps in today.
And now Peggy will read the Now Testament.
The reading is from Exodus 6, chapter 16, verses 2 through 4 and 9 through 15. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from the heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness and said, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the clouds. The Lord spoke to Moses, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord of your God." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of the dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given to you to eat." Ends our reading.
Thank you. Now we have special music again for the one. If anybody came especially for the music, I just want to let you know we're here every Sunday.
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one. The one. from the homeless to the famous and in between. He formed us, he made us carefully, 'cause in the end, we're all his children. So help me to
Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, 6:24-35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to them, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who God has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is God who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to this world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. So last week we heard the feeding the 5,000 story, the only miracle in all four Gospels, until we get to Jesus' death and resurrection. This one's a little different, though. In the Gospel of John, this is the Lord's Supper. It isn't the Last Supper at his death. The Gospel of John tells us on that night, Jesus washed feet and he gave a new commandment that we love one another. And he talked for a really long time. Doesn't say anything about the meal or about eating or remembering him. In John, the focus is on the foot washing and the new commandment. So the feeding the 5,000 is that Eucharist. It's a miracle of generosity and abundance, and it is more. He says, I am the bread of life. The Gospel of John is full of these I am statements. I am living water. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the gate. I am the light of the world. And this one, I am the bread of life. It's the very first. He takes the bread and he breaks it. He gives thanks. The Greek word, Eucharist. He gives it out himself. And he gives it to everyone. Meals are places where boundaries were maintained. You don't eat with just anyone. Sharing a meal meant sharing fellowship, sharing friendship, meant a bond, loyalty, maybe equality. They were restricted by all sorts of boundaries, national, political, ideological, economic. And here Jesus shares food with 5,000 people. He doesn't ask him any questions. He doesn't say male or female, cisgender, transgender, gay, straight, white, brown, rich, poor, old, young. He doesn't even ask about theology. He doesn't even ask them if they're good. He doesn't observe any of these normal boundaries. He says, anyone who comes will eat the bread of life, which I will give, which I actually am. And everyone who eats this bread will have eternal life. All you have to do is come. And this miracle is followed by what is called the Bread of Life Discourse, because no one's as good at naming as biblical scholars. He gave ordinary food. He gave fish and bread. And it symbolizes something much more. So people knew. People knew that 5,000 were fed. That's a lot. That's a lot of bread. That's a lot of fish. They talked about it. They came looking for him. And he responds, you're coming because you were fed, not because of the sign. It seems kind of counterintuitive, right? Being fed was the sign. But not exactly. In the Gospel of John, miracles are always called signs. They're signs. What's the difference? A miracle is an astonishing one-off, a feeding, a healing, an exorcism. It's amazing. But what they really do is serve as signs. Because signs point to something. Go here, this way. And they point to Jesus. It's a repeated pattern in John. You see it all throughout. There's a sign, not a miracle, a sign. And then somebody doesn't understand it at all, every time. And then Jesus talks. A sign, a dialogue, and then discourse. Over and over. Jesus feeds 5,000 people, and others come and want more bread, and he explains. He's the bread of life. They didn't really see the sign. They witnessed and they ate, but they didn't get what was happening. So Jesus tells them who he is, what he is. This dialogue is essential to the life of faith. Jesus wants this. It's part of relationship. He explains, not because they're dumb, but because this is how theology works. There's misunderstanding, there's challenge, and if you lean into it, there's greater understanding. So if you struggle, if you doubt, if you question your faith, if you say, that's weird, what the heck was that all about? Then you're doing it right. That's what he wants. We're not meant to understand it on the front end. We're supposed to say, what just happened? What does it mean? What does it mean that he fed 5,000 people? What does it mean that he can turn water into wine? What does it mean that he brought Lazarus back? What does it mean that he healed a blind man? What does this mean? I'm not supposed to just understand it and get the fullness of it right away, then or now. Understanding is an ongoing process. I don't understand it all. No one does. And we work at it. So in this explanation, he talks about the difference between bread and true bread. What do we want? What do we need? People want bread. They heard he gave it to 5,000 and they want some bread. Bread is delicious. It's a staple food. Then, as now, who's had bread of some sort in the last 24 hours? Yeah. They want bread. But what they really need, what they really need is relationship with God. We get this. Jesus is trying to move them a little bit further into faith. Your ancestors, they ate manna, and they died. I am living bread. If you're looking for food, what happens to food? It gets eaten, it gets moldy, it stays in the back of your fridge for a really long time, and then you finally clean it out. And then you need to get more food. But this food will never perish. The nature of the things of this world is that they do perish. But Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. They ask, what do we need to do to perform the work of God? Jesus says, believe. And interesting, in the Gospel of John, belief, it always means relationship. It doesn't mean I accept this with my head. It doesn't mean I've thought about this and come to an understanding. It means relationship. Belief isn't a noun, it's a verb, always. I'm the bread of life, I'm the bread of heaven. This is from God. It centers on the human need, on hunger, the capacity of Jesus to feed the crowd, but also to feed and serve humanity in different ways, in bigger ways. He recognizes and invites the crowd to recognize their deep hungers, below the surface hungers. Of course they're hungry for bread. They're poor. Food is scarce. Of course they are hungry for bread to feed themselves and their families. And there's nothing wrong or unspiritual about that. Jesus tends to their bodily needs first, without any precondition, and then says, you have soul hungers too. We all have soul hungers. And only the bread of heaven can satisfy that. So what are those hungers? Meaning? Community, a place to make a difference in the world, connection, love. Sit in those hungers, recognize them, know them, not hunger for bread and all the things that we like, would like, the things we need. Sit in that hunger and be fed. Amen. And we have special music again. Love Like This. Thank you. Now we have time to share prayers with God, who knows and who loves us in all things. Are there any joys or concerns to share today?
I'd just like to give a big thank you to the group that's singing today. We're so enjoying the lovely, lovely music. Thank you for coming.
I just can't help but say what wonderful music we had this morning. Christy, Michelle, and Melanie. All of those golden notes, you still have them. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come back again.
I'd just like to say that I've seen a lot of things on with the Olympics that are very touching, and I'm not talking about the winning. I'm talking about the sportsmanship amongst the you know, these competitors spend a lot of time getting ready, and yet they don't become enemies. They become friends, and I the whole idea of the Olympics was that, I believe, originally to be good sportsmen and to be good nations. And my hope is that this will bleed into society as it was meant to do.
I want to lift up our country and all that we are going through, the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, and just pray for integrity and love to lead the way and care for others. And I also lift up those who are feeling very anxious and afraid during this time, and those that are feeling very hopeful.
There are no more prayers to share aloud. Let's take a moment of silence for the prayers we hold in our hearts. Holy One, we pray for our country, for integrity, for kindness, love, care for other people. May they be the way. We remember those who are anxious, those who are afraid. Holy God, we give thanks for the good we see at the Olympics, the opportunity to come together across national divisions. We pray for peace. And we give thanks. We give thanks for music and beauty. We give thanks for this opportunity to hear these songs this morning. We give thanks for this community, for all these prayers and the prayers that we hold in our hearts. We ask you to hear us today, holy God. And let us pray as Jesus taught us. There is the version that we have here is from Holy Wisdom Monastery in Madison. You can use whatever words you like, though. Holy One, our only home, blessed be your name. May your day dawn, your will be done, here as in heaven. Feed us today and forgive us as we forgive each other. Do not forsake us at the test, but deliver us from evil. For the glory, the power, and the mercy are yours, now and forever. Amen. And God invites us to share from our many blessings to build this community. Merciful God, you invite us to the table over and over, sharing food, sharing wisdom, sharing love, sharing grace. May we be inspired by this meal and your example. Use what we have to create more tables where needs are met.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.